The other thing I guess I would mention too is since I left last week, of course, and over the last 2 weeks, I would say, in the church, we have been dealing with the publication from the Vatican of a declaration that has caused a lot of distress in the church. Some of you may have heard of that, maybe some of you haven't. It's not going to be exactly the center of my homily this morning, but it is in the background, because I think the church now is struggling a little bit in terms of the divisions that are within our ranks, and the question for me becomes then, how do we move forward? How do we move forward? And I'd like to approach it maybe a little less directly this morning, and approach it more like the scriptures do, which is to tell a story. And it is a story about our three wise men who are in search of Christ. I think like many of us are today as well, we're in search of him. And I think we can learn something from these three. And so that's what I propose to do, is tell a story about three wise men. We've seen the Christmas cards, perhaps, wise men and women still seek him. And that is true. The fool has said in his heart, as the scriptures will say, there is no God. So you are a fool to stop seeking him, at least according to the way the Bible would assess a person. But here we have these three wise men, as we call them, who are in search of the newborn king. And they've come from far east in search of him. Now, these three would be considered at the time of Christ to be scientists. They are scientists. I know you might think that has nothing to do with the Bible. Science has its own history. And these three men are what we would call precursors to what we would call today modern-day science. And at that time, astrology, or the science of reading the stars, was something studied in the schools when you became a scientist. Astrology at that time, for example, at the time of Christ, and even many centuries later, for that matter, was the study of the stars. And it was believed that the earth was stable, of course, and everything went around us, and that these heavenly bodies, as they moved about the earth, did things and influenced the earth. And that's what this science would study, is the influence of the heavenly bodies on our life on earth. It was believed, for example, that the heavenly bodies and their motions affected the four elements of that time, the periodic table, if you will, earth, wind, air, and water. Those were the four elements. And those heavenly bodies, as they moved, made the elements, for example, combine and give us gold in the earth, or those elements to combine and give us diamonds in the earth, or to give us silver in the earth, which they mined and harvested for their coins and their exchanges and this sort of a thing. And also such useful things as coal. That's what the science of the astrologist was. Now, we have since relegated, of course, that to the back page of our first section of our newspapers. But at this time, these men were highly regarded, and it's shown to us in the scriptures. In those days, magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is this newborn king of the Jews?" When Herod heard this, he was greatly troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. These people, these are scientists. We kind of revere our scientists today too, don't we? Now, Herod was a Jew, and he didn't really buy into all that religion stuff about the Bible. And of course, these men don't know the Bible. The Bible is just one book sitting against next to many others at the time. They used their science, and their science told them as they interpreted the stars, there's a king being born, and they went looking for him. And if Herod, who thought the Bible was just a bunch of empty myths, doesn't mean much, when these scientists showed up, boy, did he listen. He took them so seriously, in fact, that within a couple of years, he's going to send Roman soldiers and temple guards into Bethlehem and its environs to kill every baby 2 years and younger in order to try to wipe out this rival king. That's how serious he took that science. He was very serious about it, and most people were, just like we are today, even though we might assess their science to be rather primitive. How many of us today take science as our God and look at this Bible and this book? It's nothing but a bunch of myths. Nothing but a bunch of myths. I take my creed from the scientists. Well, there's a lot of wreckage being in our culture today as well from some of the scientific judgments within the community of science. You know about those. I don't need to tell you about them. People aren't so different today as they were back then. We're still faced with the same kinds of questions, aren't we? But here we have these three scientists. They show up, these three men, these wise men. They're seeking Christ. And you know what? Their first shot at trying to find him really does make a lot of sense. If you're looking for a king, you might think that they would end up in a major metropolitan area of the ancient world, Jerusalem, looking for a king in a palace. And that's what they did. They found Herod. Where's this king? Great, I think that makes a lot of sense. Sure, you're going to look for a king in a palace. Jesus himself, even when John sent his disciples to say, "Are you the one, Jesus, or should we look for someone else? I'm starting to have my doubts." Jesus turned and he said to all of his people, "What did you go out into the desert to see? What are you looking for? A king? Well, you think you would find a king in a palace," he said. And sure enough, these wise men, I'd say, made a good shot at it the first round. Yeah, that's where you find a king. And by the way, I have no intention of turning this at this point into a Marxist interpretation of the gospel that would say that anyone that is more privileged materially or what have you is evil and all this sort of stuff. That's Karl Marx, just as a side note. It's a bunch of baloney. No, I'm talking about, what are you looking for? These three kings are looking for a king. It just makes sense they would end up in a major metropolitan area of the ancient world. And they didn't find him, did they? It even pressed Herod to finally consult these crazy scholars of the law. Where's this king supposed to be born? These scientists here really are looking for him. So they look and they guide him to Bethlehem. They go to Bethlehem. Do you think they're going to go to the basilica in downtown Bethlehem, set up by the Romans to govern this region? Or maybe a house in the city? No. No, they don't find him, even in a house in the city. This is crazy. Where in the world is this king? And there they finally find him outside this little hovel of Bethlehem, in a cave. Not only in a cave, but a trough dedicated to feeding animals. Now, I don't know about you, but I think if state social workers got a hold of this case, they might send in and have the child taken away from its mother and father. How dare you? These are no conditions for a child to be born in. There was no one who loved Jesus more than Joseph and Mary. No one. They loved him. They were poor, They provided what they could, and there was so much love for the child, great love. And there he is, outside of town, in a trough to feed animals, lying with Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. And the three wise men, when they get there, what do they do? I mean, I would think they started in Jerusalem, major metropolitan area. He's got to be in a castle somewhere. And here they find him not even in the town, but outside of it, in a trough to feed animals. You would think, nah, this can't be him. This is not fitting the bill. No king is going to be born here. We got to keep looking. What do? They prostrated themselves and they did him homage. That, my brothers and sisters, is amazing. They prostrated themselves. They adored, they reverenced, and then they produced their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, kneeling down before him, the king. Now, I was inside the sacristy just before Mass, so I wasn't like keeping inventory or anything, but I do ask the question rhetorically of any one of you, when you came into this church today, did you happen to genuflect? He's right there. You might say, oh, you got to be kidding me, Father Dan. Catholics still don't believe that, do they? Look at that. Look at that. No, that's ridiculous. Really? Really? I got an announcement to make. He's right here. And Catholics, when we come into a church, we genuflect. Just like the wise men before Jesus. Let me announce something else. He's coming right here to this altar, and you say, a little piece of bread. How meaningless is that? I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, he's coming from the heavens right to this altar today to enter your life. And that's the truth of our faith. Are we going to welcome him? We have something to learn from these three wise men. Yes, wise men and wise women still seek him. Then why is it that so many Catholics today act as though he's nowhere to be found? Why is that? You know it, we're hemorrhaging members today in the Catholic Church. People leaving in droves. Not coming to church on Sundays. I've said it here before. There's no one smarter or wiser in the room at any given time, in any given age, at any given epoch, at any time of the day, week, or night than Jesus Christ. No one. Smarter, wiser, more capable than him. But why is it that so many of us Catholics act as though he's not even in the room? I think we have something to learn from these three wise men today. Yeah, they made a good shot, I think. It's starting at a major metropolitan area where you'd look for a king and a pastor. In a castle. They didn't find him. And when they finally did, it still wasn't what they were expecting. And Mary will be even told at the presentation of Jesus in the temple that this child is going to be a sign that is contradicted, because he's not going to be what the Jewish people were looking for. And he suffered because of that. So, what are you looking for? What are you looking for? I think we all have something to learn from these wise men today who knelt down, prostrated themselves. We're talking full prone on the ground and did him homage. We can learn from them ourselves today because Jesus is coming right here to this altar, as I said, from the heavens. And with that announcement, I also issue an invitation with these three wise men. Come, let us adore him.